Chapter 60. I gripped the door handle as I passed the threshold, digging in my heels and throwing every scrap of strength into my arms to keep that door from shutting, from locking me in. Invisible hands shoved against it, but I gritted my teeth and braced a foot against the wall, iron biting into my hands. The room behind me was dark.
"Thief,"
intoned a lovely voice in the blackness.
"You do know,"
Ianthe tittered from outside the cottage, her steps slowing into a walk,
"that we'll have to kill whoever is inside there with you. Selfish of you, Farah."
I panted, holding the door open, making sure they couldn't see me on the other side.
"You have seen my twin,"
the weaver hissed softly, with a hint of wonder.
"I smell him on you."
Outside, Ianthe and the guard grew closer, closer and closer. Somewhere deep in the room, I felt her move, felt her stand, and take a step toward me.
"What are you?"
the weaver breathed.
"Farah, you can be quite tedious,"
Ianthe said. Right outside, I could barely make out her pale robes through the crack between the door and threshold.
"Do you think you can ambush us in there? I saw your shield. You're drained. And I don't think your glowing trick will help."
The weaver took another step toward me in the gloom.
"Who did you bring, little wolf? Who did you bring to me?"
Ianthe and her two guards stepped over the threshold, then another step, past the open door. They didn't see me in the shadows behind it.
"Dinner,"
I said to the weaver, whirling around the door to its outside face and let go of the handle. Just as the door slammed shut, hard enough to rattle the cottage, locking me outside, I saw the ball of phalite that Ianthe lifted to illuminate the room. Saw the horrible face of the weaver, that mouth of stumped teeth opening wide with delight and unholy hunger. A death god of old, starved for life, with a beautiful priestess before her. I was already hurtling for the trees when the guards and Ianthe began screaming. Their unending screams followed me for half a mile. By the time I reached the spot where I'd seen the Suriel fall, they'd faded. Sprawled out, the Suriel's bony chest heaved unevenly, its breaths few and far between. Dying. I slid to my knees before it, sinking into the bloody moss.
"Let me help you. I can heal you."
"I'd do it the same way I'd helped Resand. Remove those arrows and offer it my blood." I reached for the first one, but a dry, bony hand settled on my wrist.
"Your magic,"
it rasped,
"is spent. Do not waste it."
"I can save you."
It only gripped my wrist.
"I am already gone."
What can I do?"
The words turned thin, brittle.
"Stay,"
it breathed.
"Stay until the end."
I took its hand in mine.
"I'm sorry," was all I could think to say. "I had done this. I had brought it here."
"I knew,"
it gasped, sensing my shift in thoughts.
"The tracking. I knew of it."
"Then why come at all?"
"You were kind. You fought your fear. You were kind,"
it said again. I began crying.
"And you were kind to me,"
I said, not brushing away the tears that fell onto its bloodied, tattered robe.
"Thank you for helping me when no one else would."
a small smile on that lipless mouth.
Farah Archeron,
a labored breath.
I told you to stay with the High Lord, and you did.
It's warning to me that first time we'd met. You meant Rhys. All this time.
Stay with him, and live to see everything righted.
Yes, I did. And it was.
No, not yet. Stay with him.
I will. I always would. Its chest rose, then fell. I don't even know your name, I whispered. The Suriel. It was a title, a name for its kind. That small smile again.
Does it matter, Cursebreaker?
Yes. Its eyes dimmed, but it did not tell me. It only said,
You should go now. Worse things are coming. The blood draws them.
I squeezed its bony hand, the leathery skin growing colder. I can stay a while longer. I had killed enough animals to know when a body neared death. Soon now, it would be a matter of breaths.
Farah Archeron,
the Suriel said again, gazing at the leafy canopy, the sky peeking through it, a painful inhale.
A request.
I leaned close. Anything. Another rattling breath.
Leave this world a better place than how you found it.
And as its chest rose and stopped altogether, as its breath escaped in one last sigh, I understood why the Suriel had come to help me, again and again. Not just for kindness, but because it was a dreamer. And it was the heart of a dreamer that had ceased beating inside that monstrous chest. Its sudden silence echoed into my own. I laid my head on its chest, on that now silent vault of bone, and wept. I wept and wept until there was a strong hand at my shoulder. I didn't know the scent, the feel of the hand, but I knew the voice as Helion said softly to me, Come, Farah. It is not safe here. Come. I lifted my head. Helion was there, features grim, his brown skin ashen.
I can't leave it here like this, I said, refusing to let go of its hand. I didn't care how Helion had found me, why he'd found me.
He looked to the fallen creature, mouth tightening.
I'll take care of it.
Burn it, with the power of the sun. I let him help me to my feet, let him extend a hand toward that body. Wait. Helion obeyed. Give me your cloak, please. Brows narrowing, Helion unfastened the rich crimson cloak pinned at each shoulder. I didn't bother to explain, as I covered the Suriel's body with the fine fabric, far finer than the hateful rags Ianthe had given it. I tucked the High Lord's cloak gently around its broad shoulders, its bony arms. Thank you, I said, one last time to the Suriel, and stepped away. Helion's flame was a pure blinding white. It burned the Suriel into ashes within a heartbeat. Come, Helion said again, extending a hand. Let's get you to the camp. It was the kindness in his voice that cracked my chest, but I took Helion's hand. As warm light whisked us away, I could have sworn that the pile of ashes was stirred by a phantom wind.